Jesus not only had the power to raise people from the dead, but to raise himself from the grave. That was his claim. And they said, how do we know your claims are true? Destroy this body and I'll show you I know what I'm talking about. I'll raise up from the dead 3 days later.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Manter on the day that changed not only the world, but all eternity.
If you're a Christian, this is an essential part of the Christian faith. And that's where Jesus proved himself to be who he claimed to be by saying, in 3 days, I will raise this body up.
It's in Matthew 28 we find a group of women arriving at Jesus' tomb only to find it empty and an angel declaring that Jesus was no longer there because he had risen, just as he said he would. Coming up on today's Word, Pastor Brett Manter simply explains what the resurrection really means and why it matters so much to the Christian faith and to all of mankind.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important, I think, part of the gospel message that a lot of times people leave out. Jesus didn't just come and die on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross and then he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the grave. This is an important thing because people that don't realize the raising from the grave part is one of the most important, essential parts of the whole thing. I'll show you that as we get further into this. But all that to say, you know, the resurrection of Jesus is, I believe, one of the most provable historical events in all the world's history. And the reason why is the mass amount of evidence and the mass effect on this planet. When you think about it, the resurrection of Jesus is so unlikely. Some little guy that lived in Nazareth who was a carpenter's son. Nazareth wasn't even a big town. You know, when we in America talk about these biblical towns, we think of these big cities, old city of Nazareth. Do you remember what they said when they said Jesus was from Nazareth? One of the guys said, what good thing comes from Nazareth? It's like Nazareth was a podunk, little tiny speck of a town. In fact, if you go to Nazareth today, it's still a fairly small town, but during the time of Christ, I've been to Nazareth probably 8 or 9 times, and if you want to see the ancient site of the city of Nazareth, you have to go into a church building. They built a church over the whole city. In fact, you could fit all of the city of Nazareth during the time of Christ in this half of our sanctuary right here. That's how big Nazareth was, the city of Nazareth, where Jesus was from. And you can go into this church. You're like, why am I going to a church? I wanted to see a city because the city was so spectacular. It was just a speck. You just kind of have to see it in this church, you know, and you go see the ruins of Nazareth. So that's why, you know, it's this obscure town with this obscure carpenter. How in the world did our whole dating system start wrapping around a single person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth? What happened that turned the world upside down, where even the Roman Empire would eventually fall because of Christianity, started by a little guy from Nazareth? What was the thing that made everything change? Was it his pushy personality? Was he, you know, a guy who was aggressive and trying to make himself known? Well, if you remember the story, most of the time he's saying, hey, don't tell anybody. Like, don't tell him about the miracles that I just did. And he wasn't all large and in charge, trying to impress everybody. But he was just loving, doing kind acts. And by the end of his ministry, everybody hated him and was saying, crucify him. And even his friends betrayed him and ran for their lives. That's the way his story sort of ends, at least at the cross. And then they bury him. And 3 days later, he raises up from the grave, just like he said he would. And that's what changed the whole deal. Some people base their faith on their belief in the resurrection on just simple faith. And that's good, that works. If you just say, man, I just believe that that's what happened and I have faith that that happened, that's good. But I wanna also tell you, if you're more of a, you know, engineering mind or logical person, or you like more of the facts, there are plenty of facts that you can dive into, and many people have over the centuries. And the resurrection is perhaps one of the most provable facts in history. You know, the fact that Jesus changed the world, there's actually a somewhat of a studious book called The Man Who Changed the World. And it's an interesting read that talks about how one man, Jesus, affected the whole world so radically. And it's kind of an interesting take on how is it that this man changed the world. Well, the fact is, he was God who became a man, lived among us, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and then rose from the grave. So the big question about our faith is that. You know, the world, by the way, right now, there's a big giant ecumenical movement happening right now, syncretism or an ecumenical move of religions all coming together. They're building church buildings around the globe now. They're, you know, Muslim, Jewish, Christian, the three great faiths, as people call it, and all this stuff. And the problem is there's a lot of misunderstanding about what true Christianity is. And if you're trying to meld, you know, Buddhism and Christianity and Islam and put them all in the same, that's what the world is trying to do. And that's what a lot of people try to say is happening. But if you're really a true believer in Jesus, you have to believe what he said. And what he said was that he was the only way to heaven. Jesus was either lying about this, or he's either a lunatic where he just made up stuff. I am God in the flesh. And you're supposed to worship me and believe in me and be saved and go to heaven. Like, he's either a lunatic or a liar, or third option, he really was who he claimed to be. How do we know he is who he claimed to be? In fact, you'll get this question: how do you Christians know that your faith is better than all the other faiths? What makes Christianity more believable or better than all the other faiths? The answer is actually pretty easy. No other religious guru, leader, starter, whatever, none of them did anything to substantiate their claim. No one. Muhammad actually made a claim that he would return to Jerusalem, which he never did. Buddha left his family to enter into that third eye of understanding and find the state of the snuffed out candle or whatever, you know, weird thing he was contemplating. But he was not really a great dude if you're looking for a family man, somebody who cares about your children and stuff like that. I mean, it's really kind of an amazing thing when you really look at the religions and things people will believe. But Christianity is the one belief where the founder of Christianity, Christ said, you want a proof of what I'm saying? Then destroy this body. In 3 days, I will raise it up again. And nobody else did anything even close to that. And if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then Christianity would have been dead in the cradle in the early part of the Christian church, because they wouldn't have had any proof and nobody would have believed. Everybody had already bolted already when Jesus died on the cross. It would have been snuffed out had he not risen from the grave. And that's something I want to look at, the proof positive of really the resurrection. Let's start with our text, Matthew 28, verse 1. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So unlikely that, you know, if this was a made up story, by the way, would women have been the first ones to find the empty tomb? Would they have put that in the narrative? Did they really respect women generally back in those days? Not even close. I love how Christianity, by the way, is the first group in history that actually really honors women. You'll hear a different narrative from other people who hate the Bible, but it's amazing to me that that would be so unlikely if you're making up a religion in those days, in the first century, and said, oh, we're gonna make the people that first see the resurrected Jesus be women. That's already unlikely if you're trying to make up a story. But because it was a true story, that's just what went down. These ladies went to see the tomb, and man, I love it, the Lord uses them. And I like the way they leave, with fear and great joy. Have you ever had that mixed emotion of fear and great joy? They're kind of freaking out. What did we just say? An angel who moved the stone, all these Roman soldiers laying there. Remember the Roman guard that Pilate allowed the Jews to put there to guard the tomb to make sure no funny business happened? They're all laying there as dead men. There's this angel sitting on the stone that used to be covering the tomb. Don't you wonder what that was like? The angel's just sitting there. And he's, you know, he's brightly shining. Like bright as lightning, it says. And the lady's like, ah, fear. No wonder they had fear. But when they heard, he is not here. He is risen. Oh man, they go with fear and great joy. The resurrection, what a great story. And there's so many parts of the story that are so unlikely, and yet it's the story, the narrative that actually is the real story. I think there's evidence. You know, when people lie about stuff, often just they try to make it more grand, or they fill in too much information, or they make stuff that's more believable. There's so many things about the story that are kind of unbelievable, it almost makes it more believable. But more than that, there's evidence and reasons why we believe the resurrection actually did happen. And you say, Brett, what if I don't care about this? What if I just want to be a Christian? I like Jesus. I believe he died on the cross. But why do I have to believe in the resurrection? The answer is, it's the gospel. It's part of the gospel message. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave. Here, Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great chapter on the resurrection, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole chapter. But there, Paul spells out the gospel. I think every Christian should know this passage, because if you're ever asked what the gospel is, this is the answer. If you go downtown Portland, Pioneer Square, and ask people what the Christian gospel is, you'll hear all kinds of weird stuff. It's love and peace to humanity and kindness to all, and saving the earth and being in community, or whatever they want to say. It's all stupid. That's not what the gospel is. The gospel is what Paul says. For he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's the first component of this gospel message, that we're sinners. And part of that acknowledging that Christ died for our sins also would imply a need for repentance of sins. Sins are bad, and we should agree with God on that and acknowledge our sin before God. That means to repent. And so you're acknowledging that Christ died for our sins. There had to be a death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. So Jesus died for our sins in our place, substitutionarily. And it's not just what happened, it's according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And component number two, that he was buried. He literally died. He didn't sort of halfway die. There's the swooning theory that people try to discredit the resurrection by saying, well, Jesus never really was completely dead. He was just mostly dead. And they thought he was dead, but he really wasn't dead. So they put him in the tomb, wrapped him in the graves, and left him there, put the stone over. Now think about this to believe this. You have to be a little bit weirdo. Jesus was stabbed with a spear up through his ribs. Blood and water came gushing out. He was already dead. The Romans, who were experts on death, did they mistake that he was still alive? He had nails in his hands. He'd hung on a cross for hours. He'd been whipped with a flagellum, 39 lashes, you know, horribly bloodied, beaten. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He died. And everybody, the Romans, experts on death, said he died. So then they put him in the tomb, but he wasn't completely dead. You have to believe that the cool, moist air of the tomb just sort of revived him. And suddenly he got up and took off his grave clothes. Oh man, I feel great. So great was he feeling that he rolled the stone away himself. He felt so peppy that he rolled the stone away himself, fought off the 50 Roman soldiers that were outside of the tomb, and suddenly came to the disciples, I'm back, and I feel great. Is that what happened? Like, to have that kind of faith? I'm not that weird. I don't have that kind of weirdo, crazy level faith to believe any of that. But what I do believe is what the Bible says, he was buried. That is, Christ died for our sins, according to scriptures, and he was buried in a tomb, dead. But the second component, he was buried, and then here's the third component of the gospel, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. This is the gospel, that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and he rose again the third day. This is what puts Jesus apart from Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, Oprah, any of the people that people try to, you know, esteem as, you know, gods or goddesses. Only Jesus actually did something to prove their spiritual claims. And this is an important thing. So the gospel in a nutshell, later on in the same chapter, Paul the Apostle puts an exclamation point on the need for us to believe in the resurrection. In fact, if you fast forward 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were people in that day saying nobody really raises from the dead. The chiefest of that group, by the way, was one of the religious groups called the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in life after death, the resurrection. That's why they were Sadducee. That's how you remember that. They didn't believe in life after death. So the Sadducees, by the way, if you don't believe in life after death, you don't believe in, you know, the eternal, after you die, you even go to heaven or hell, that changes your worldview a lot. This explains a lot of the worldview that we are seeing in America today. If you believe this is all there is, just only this life, what are you going to do? You're going to live with great fear and hang on to your life desperately. Man, whatever you do, you don't want to get sick or die. That's the worst thing in the world. That'll be the end of you. But see, if you're a person who believes in God, you also believe there's something greater than you and something eternal. And you believe, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you believe that Christ made it so you and I have life after death. And that's where life really begins. This life on earth is equated to death. Even if you're alive, you're still kind of dead. We were born in sin and in death. And the Bible says that. So Paul says, how is it that some of you, he says here in 1 Corinthians 15, how is it some of you believe there's no resurrection of the dead? And then he goes into this rhetorical sort of rant, verse 13. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain and your faith vain also. In other words, our preaching and talking about Jesus and sermonizing and all the Christianity and faith and all that stuff, total waste of time. And then he goes on. In fact, the next verse, in verse 15, he says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. If Christ didn't raise up, we're liars, he's saying, because we have testified that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep or dead in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What's he saying? He's saying, if we're walking around as Christians talking about Jesus, but Jesus didn't raise up from the grave, why would we do what we're doing? Our life would be miserable. Question, was Paul's life miserable? Well, you might say on sort of a external view, yes, he was beaten up many times. One time they stoned him to death, literally like left him for dead. There's a possibility that he actually was dead for a little bit. Because remember that he was taken up into heaven and saw a vision of heaven, maybe at that time. But he wasn't really completely dead, so he comes out of the pile of rocks and goes back in and preaches a sermon in town. He was bitten by a viper, shipwrecked many times, totally rejected by his brothers, the Jews. Like, Paul lived a pretty miserable life, but as it turns out, Paul would talk about joy and rejoicing. The whole book of Philippians was written from prison about joy and how to be happy and to rejoice. What was wrong with Paul? He even said stuff, I don't count my life dear to myself. Paul said that. That's the way I see a lot of people. Oh, my life is so dear to myself. I don't want to die. And if I die, oh. But if you're a Christian who believes in the life after death that Christ provides, then we say we're not afraid of death. Jesus says, you know, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain life. The Christian faith believes in a life after death that's eternal. This little 75, 80, if you're really lucky, 90 years you get on this life, it's a blip on the screen. But if you're a Christian and believes in eternal life that Jesus provides through the resurrection, by the way, then what happens? Well, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins. Then, in verse 18, it says, then also they which are dead in Christ are perished. They cease to exist. And that's why he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. In other words, if it's just about the here and now, what a horrible thing. If you're a Christian, this is an essential part of the Christian faith. And that's where Jesus proved himself to be who he claimed to be by saying, in 3 days, I will raise this body up. There's things about this that I think are important about the resurrection. We see the resurrection as important as Christians because of a few things maybe you could jot down as we think through this. So first of all, resurrection as proof. Proof of what? Proof of all of Jesus's claims. Because when Jesus was asked to prove his claims, Jesus told us this is what he would do. I think probably the clearest statement on this is John chapter 2. Jesus answered, you know, the Jews, when they asked him this question, it says then answered, or you might even say asked, the Jews said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then, you know, later on we read where it says, and this he spake of the temple of his body. Paul said, what? Don't you know your body is a temple to the Holy Ghost? He was referring to his body. And the disciples realized that later too. Now they would twist these words of Jesus to indict him in court. Remember they said, he said he was gonna tear down the temple and 3 days raise it up again. Is that what Jesus said? No. Jesus said, if you tear down this temple, this body, not he was gonna tear down the temple in Jerusalem. He never said that. He said, if you tear down this temple, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up again. I will resurrect from the grave. This is what Jesus said. And many, many religious leaders have come and gone, but never made such a claim that he would prove his claims to be true by something so impossible. Jesus to raise himself up from the grave. By the way, we're gonna see how the Bible calls Jesus the first fruit of the resurrection so that we will be the next fruits. We get to raise up even as he rose up because he was the first one. Why does the Bible act like Jesus was the first one when really Lazarus rose from the grave, Jairus' daughter, there were some Old Testament people that were raised up from the dead, Elijah the prophet. What's the difference between those resurrections, if you would, versus the one Jesus did? Anybody wanna jump in on that one? Yeah, all those other people died again. They didn't stay alive. Jesus stayed alive. Later, the Bee Gees wrote a song about that. It was great. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Jesus was the only one who stayed alive. That's the first component. The second component is Jesus is the only one who raised himself from the grave. Lazarus needed Jesus. Elijah needed the power of the Holy Spirit to have the dead raised. Man alone does not have the power to raise people from the dead. But Jesus not only had the power to raise people from the dead, but to raise himself from the grave. That was his claim. Jesus claimed he could do this. And they said, how do we know your claims are true? Destroy this body and I'll show you. I know what I'm talking about. I'll raise up from the dead 3 days later. What claims would Jesus make that made these guys want to have proof? Well, Jesus made a lot of claims and a lot of statements. Probably the biggest ones, the ones that made them the maddest, is when he claimed to be God in the flesh. John chapter 14, verse 9 is one of those classic passages. This is Philip, the disciple who came and said, oh, Jesus, show us the Father. We wanna see the Father. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus saying, Philip, don't you know that when you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father in heaven? Same. I and my Father are one. Jesus wasn't just claiming to be tight with God, he was claiming to be God.
Pastor Brett Metter reminding us that Jesus not only rose from the dead, but why he died and resurrected for us on today's Word. I trust you'll stick around as Pastor Brett will join me to talk a little bit about Easter in just a moment. But first, we invite you to listen each day at this same time for more of today's Word. If you've missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. You can also watch full video messages from Pastor Brett by again going to todayswordradio.com. All right, I do have Pastor Brett with me. Brett, with Easter right around the corner and Palm Sunday this weekend, what thoughts would you share with our listeners as we prepare for Easter?
Well, this week is such a special week for us Christians, and it just really is something we celebrate all year round. I think it gives us an excuse to just even double celebrate and be so excited about the road, you know, that we see from Palm Sunday Road. 1 minute they're crying, Hosanna, save now, but they don't understand really who Jesus is at that point. So you go through this Holy Week, and then you get to the place where, you know, they're condemning him, crucify him. We will not have this man rule over us. And then it gets to the tomb, and it's such an amazing roller coaster story. But it's better than any movie. You know how the movie is dark and there's something really troubling, and then at the end there's some glorious thing that happens at the end. There's nothing more glorious in the universe than a resurrected Jesus. And it's because, you know, when Jesus rose from the grave, it really is the event that proved everything he said to be true. He said, this is the one sign I'll show you. So as Christians, the Easter event of resurrection is the most verifiable part of Christianity, and how thankful I am. I think that's why we as Christians get so excited about Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, because of just the validity it gives to Christianity.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Thank you, Pastor Brett, for that. And I want to remind our listeners that we'll be here each day to go through God's Word. For information about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church, just go to todayswordradio.com. On our website, you can also make a comment or share a prayer request. again, todayswordradio.com. Well, I hope you can be back as we continue looking at the resurrection of Jesus. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.